Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Hello and welcome to Soccer Sense, the Sensible Soccer Podcast. This is Tariq joining you along with Vishal.
Hey guys.
For a very special episode. 2015 was quite a topsy-turvy year. We saw a lot of things change, especially in the English Premier League. A lot of people said, well, you know, people jump at the conclusion that it's the best league in the world because, you know, you never know any team can beat any team. But the flip side to that being, is it because any team can beat any team because they're equally good or they're equally bad? And now is an appropriate time to talk about the quality of football in England because this year marks the 50th anniversary of the one World Cup win they've had. And also, today, as we are recording this podcast, we happen to know that this also marks the 41st anniversary of the date when Brian Clough became the Leeds United, Nottingham Forest manager.
Yep.
Leeds United, not something you'd want to talk about. So led Nottingham to back-to-back European titles.
Yep.
English clubs used to be a force then.
Yep.
We are talking about a situation now where the English challenge in the Champions League is seriously dented. So Vishal,
yep.
Big question. The Premier League is exciting, all right.
Yeah.
But for the right reasons or the wrong reasons.
So when people say English Premier League is the best league in the world, I definitely think they're talking about it being the most entertaining league in the world. Like you said, there's an equal chance of somebody like a Bournemouth beating Man United and Chelsea in two consecutive weeks. So yes, it is definitely competitive. It is definitely, as in, you cannot take any game up for granted. You cannot assume that you're going to win this game. So, for example, if you were to compare it to a Spanish Premier, the Spanish League or the Italian League, Italian League less now, but the Spanish League or even the German League for the matter, you know for a fact that your top three are pre-decided way before the season starts. Where you know...
Yeah, it's just a question of what order they'll finish
in. Exactly, and the disparity is so much that the top team can beat the team in 8th and 9th place 9-1, 10-1, 11-1 and not be surprised about it. That is the actual difference between the qualities of these squads. So same in Germany, as in it's a monopoly which is run by Bayern Munich with Dortmund trying its best to match whatever possible. So yeah, in terms of pure competition, in terms of pure level of performance, in terms of, England is the most entertaining league. But now this is where we'll have to go back to the point of why there's a league structure in place in all these countries. So if you look at why the league was set up, it was to create domestic players. It was the sole objective is to have a conveyor belt of domestic players coming and feeding the national team so that the national team can go ahead and be successful. And like you said, England are celebrating 50 years since they last won the World Cup. This is the country that invented the game. This is a country which is supposedly having the best league in the world. Then you should have more World Cups in your kitty. So as much as you like to argue about Spain being a boring league, the top two teams had produced 11 players or the 15 players who went ahead and won the Euros twice and won the World Cup. Germany, they won the World Cup through players who were bred completely in Germany. But England have started, the FA in particular, have started treating the game as such a big business, with TV rights taking focus, with everything other than the football and the producing of talent taking focus, that England are not producing talent up to the mark, which is why they're struggling. As in, you put them up against Germany, they always get thrashed. It's not even get beaten, they get it handed to them. So which is the problem, where you do not have a system set in place to really feed your this thing. So which is where I think we definitely have the most entertaining league, and I follow the EPL closer than any other league, in fact. So definitely entertaining, definitely competitive, but definitely not the best league.
Now here is where the problem comes, because for the EPL to market itself to newer markets, which at some point of time has to enter the discussion, they need to keep it exciting. So it's easy for them to sell it saying it's an exciting league because you never know what's going to happen. But for a slightly more discerning fan, we might look under the surface and say, look,
Like I said, our evaluation is completely from the soccer sense point of view, where football is at the center of it and not business and not commercial interest. So from purely that point of view, English football is not doing what it's meant to do. Your clubs, finally there is Arsenal who are producing decent players, still not world beaters. They're United again are not producing world beaters. There is not a single club in the world who are producing players like the Dortmund has produced, or like a Munich has produced, or like a Barcelona has produced. I will not say Madrid, because Madrid believe in buying. But you can easily pick out the Spanish 11 from Barcelona and how much they contributed to Spain being as dominated as they were. So it is just that the league at its very basic level, for putting aside entertainment, putting aside commercial interest, putting aside sponsors, is supposed to be feeding national football and supposed to be creating an ecosystem where you feed players to the national team to go out and compete in the World Cups of the world and the Euros of the world. To a large extent, Brazil have one of the most unpopular leagues in the world. Yeah, but
it still happens to produce.
Happens to produce the best players. Even so, be the same with Argentina. They produce players, and that is the
point. You can even talk about, for example, in Mexico.
Yeah,
because they're a relatively
exactly.
smaller league.
Even USA, for that matter. I am sorry, but the MLS are producing the core of the American team with Jurgen Klinsmann is building is from America, and this is from the MLS league, which is not even a competitive league for all practical purposes. They hardly play 20 games a season. So that's my point. So if in a bid to make it entertaining and commercially successful, they've forgotten the purpose of having the league.
So if we talk about it from national team perspective, yeah. as in if we think about England as
yep.
as the team here.
Yep.
We've seen how Germany have gone back and worked at the grassroots of the
yep.
league and,
yep.
and gone ahead and won the World Cup as a result of that.
Yep.
It's pretty clear to see.
Yep.
Belgium have done something similar.
Amazing work. Look at the Belgian squad. And this is where you could easily ignore the Belgian league's existence. But look at the players they produce, and look at they're equally spread across the world, creating wonders in whichever club they're playing.
So, but then from a casual soccer fan's point of view, from a soccer sense fan's point of view, what would help the EPL become a little more, let's say, real in terms of the levelness of the playing field?
It is great that you have such great foreign players who want to come and play in the league. It is great that a manager like Pep Guardiola wants to come down and coach in England, because he believes it's a challenge far bigger than any other country in the world. So it is great for you. You have that. But at the same time, you need to ensure that you... So for example, a club like Chelsea, for example, they do have great young players who are coming out of the system, but nobody makes it to the first team because they are loaned out and then they are sold. Simply because they are buying stars. They believe in instant success. So, for example, why was a Manchester United of the 90s so great? Because all the core of that team...
You're talking about the class of 92.
92. The core of that team was from the academy. And if you look at Arsenal's, even Wenger, he built his core around the Tony Adams, the Lee Dixons, the Martin Keowns, who were all Arsenal players, thoroughbred Arsenal players. So, you don't think, as in, if I'm a young player right at this point in time, and if I'm coming into the youth system, I do not have too much faith, because one, I do not, and Kevin De Bruyne gave this ridiculous interview the last week where he said he didn't succeed at Chelsea because he didn't have a big enough price tag. I'm like, what a mighty excuse that is. That are you saying that you did not succeed at Chelsea because you had a price tag of only 7 million and you're succeeding in City, that because you have 50 million? So basically he's saying that he didn't get a starting position because of his price tag, which is actually fact. Yeah, which is actually fact, because the minute he went to Wolfsburg, he turned it around.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that you have to put it that way.
Yeah.
You could even talk about Hernandez's story that way.
Yeah.
You could talk about a few others.
We can talk about Matic. Chelsea had Matic in the youth system. Forget he's not English. Chelsea had to sell him to Benfica, make him, let him become a good player there, then buy him back for 35 million. It does not make sense.
Buying back your own product, in effect.
It just does not make sense. Where does logic prevail in this, and where do you realize that you need patience? As in, kudos to the likes of Jurgen Klopp, kudos to the likes of Roberto Martinez, who believe in youth. As in, I think Everton have consistently been producing some great players. Some players who made wrong choice in their career moves, for example, Ross Barkley, who was supposed to be the future of England, English midfield, but made the wrong move to Man City at the wrong point of time, and is paying the price for it now. But now they have their likes of Stone, they have Barkley, they have Lukaku, who again they bought at a time when nobody was really willing to spend so much money on him, and look at it. So cheers to the managers who believe in youth, and to some great extent even Van Gaal. I think Van Gaal, though, irrespective, he is giving youth a chance. Though they're not great players, he is giving them a chance.
Yeah, so, I think Van Gaal, where he's missed the trick, is only because he has spent so much money that everybody expects him to put those big names out there. But and what he's doing is something very different.
I know, obviously, I will not bring up Wenger into this, because I still think Wenger does a lot of it right. A lot of in terms of building a football club, because the core of that Arsenal team is players who have grown up in Arsenal. Be it a Ramsey, he bought a Ramsey when he was 16, 17 years old. Be it a Wilshere, who's from the academy. So there is a lot of things that Arsene Wenger does right with about, and the core of the English team is Arsenal right now, for all practical purposes.
Which
is
not
Arsenal.
Necessarily surprising, yeah. Considering what we just
exactly.
About.
So, which is the point where you cannot be forgetting the purpose of club football. This is including the FA. The FA need to step in at some point in time and say, you know what, we are taking a battering every international tournament. We do not have quality players who are rising to the occasion. And this, for example, if Wayne Rooney has been your best player this year, and he's had such a poor year, if Wayne Rooney has just been awarded player of the year for England, that speaks volumes about the kind of talent that you had.
And the second tier that you had.
So, enough said, that in itself speaks volumes.
Okay, so entertainment might be what you get right now,
yep.
But be quality in the long
run.
I've
never complained about the entertainment. I love it. Every week I enjoy it. But
absolutely. Everybody does. The narrative is great.
Yeah.
But the sustainability over the long run is what
exactly.
We are talking about.
Yeah.
So we will be bringing you more of this on Soccer Sense in our general episodes anyway.
Yeah.
And from time to time we'll pop up these special episodes where we talk about the strategic issues.
Yeah.
Next week we bring in Karan also into the discussion and talk about the other side of the picture, which is managers.
Yeah.
And for the time being, this is Tariq signing off along with Vishal.
I don't know who you pray for, but pray for somebody.
And we'll see you next time on a special episode.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.